Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're moving on to the second part of the Pasuk. Verachok mipeninim michra. Shlomo HaMelech describes that the value of the Eshet Chayil is far away from the value of pearls. He's trying to express how valuable an Eshet Chayil is to herself, to her husband, to her children, and to all the people around her. The question is, why does Shlomo HaMelech talk about her value in comparison to pearls? I'm not sure if pearls would have been the first item on our mind when we think of something valuable. We tend to think of gold. We've seen the Sukkim that compare valuable things to gold. Platinum, silver, diamonds, precious stones. Yet Shlomo HaMelech bypasses all of those and says the Eshet Chayil is greater than pearls. Why does he specifically choose the pearls as the example for the value of the Eshet Chayil? Pearls are very unique from all the other examples that I have given. When you look to find gold or any metal, you will need to go find the deposits that Hashem made in this earth. It's amazing how Hashem put deposits of all the different tools that we need in life. When Hashem made the world, He deposited in the world oil and gas and gold and silver and platinum and iron. They're all there from the 6 days of creation. These things don't grow. They don't develop. From the time of the creation, Hashem put enough metal. It's an amazing miracle. Hashem put enough metal for all the billions and billions of people. There was only one man and his wife. Yet Hashem deposited enough energy and enough material. And at the time, things that they would never be able to even use, they wouldn't know what to do with gas. Natural gas, what would Adam HaRishon do with natural gas? Nothing. But yet Hashem already deposited in this planet so many different items that we humans today can't live without. They're there. Not only metals, but precious stones, diamonds, are also basically rocks. You cut the rock, looks like a stone. You look on the other side and you can't believe your eyes. You see the most beautiful stones, whether they're diamonds or they're amethyst or they're all the different precious stones that Hashem created in the world, full of beauty. Again, part of the 6 days of creation, they've been there from Adam HaRishon till today. Pearls, on the other hand, were not made in the 6 days of creation. Where do pearls come from? They come from the most interesting development of events. The oyster is a fish, type of fish. It's in the sea. Has a shell. This oyster doesn't have pearls inside of it. When an oyster faces a challenge, such as something coming in from the outside that irritates its soft skin on the inside, goes inside the shell. It could be a grain of sand. It could be a tiny parasite that gets trapped inside its body on its soft skin. This painful experience for the oyster causes a reaction. Hashem gave the oyster a factory that produces a certain material that's called mother of pearl. This mother of pearl is released on top of the parasite or the grain of sand, and it keeps releasing to cover this irritation, this area. And this mother of pearl that keeps going one layer on top of another, if you come back in a few months or a few years, you will see the most beautiful, gorgeous pearls. They're called natural pearls that are very, very rare and very, very expensive. There are different types of pearls in the world. Some of them are just fake. And then there are cultured pearls. Cultured pearls are also expensive, but not like these. Cultured pearls, it goes through the same system, but it's done by a farm. They specifically put these irritations inside the oyster so they can make pearls. You open up, inside you'll get a bag of pearls, and they farm them. That's called cultured pearls. But the ones that are natural are rare and very expensive. That is the story of the penina, the story of the pearl. Unlike the other materials that are precious in this world, the pearl is something that develops. It's not something deposited that you could look for. It's something that has to come about, and it comes specifically from a challenge, from something that might be painful, something that might be irritating. You know, an oyster swims around living all of its life comfortably, has very little value, maybe for kids to play with. But when it develops this painful experience, this annoying experience, it is then that you will find the precious pearls inside of it. That is the story of the Eshet Hayil. The Eshet Hayil is being compared to a pearl, because an Eshet Hayil specifically develops through hardship. I was once in a conversation with with men talking about how difficult it is to find a good young man for their daughters. And one of the men says, you know, you never know what you're getting when you get a young man to take your daughter. You never know what you're getting. And for the most part, it's true. You don't really know what you're getting. Of course, you do research. You learn the most you can. You do the best you can. But ultimately, you don't know what you're getting. So it's very scary. You're giving your daughter, your wonderful daughter, to something that you don't know what you're getting. So I told them that you should know that you also don't know what you're giving. They were surprised. What does that mean? Our daughters, refined, kind, soft, happy, helpful, spiritual. I mean, what I mean? We know exactly what we're giving. But you have a young lady that grew up in her parents' home. She had protection. She wasn't involved in any kind of major difficulty, usually. She was protected from the outside. She was protected from paying any kind of bills. She went to school for free. Her food came without having to pay. She was protected from different issues that go on in people's lives. She pretty much swam like an oyster. So, at that point, you don't have an Eshet Chayil. You can't marry an Eshet Chayil. If you're looking for an Eshet Chayil to marry, you don't know what an Eshet Chayil is. An Eshet Chayil is something that develops. And it develops specifically through the challenges. I told these men, I said, what will happen if when your daughter gets married and she has a hard time having children? What then will be of your daughter? What happens if she has many children? In 5 years, she has 5 kids. Then what will happen with 5 little children hanging on her, taking every moment that she has? What will happen if there's a financial difficulty in the family? She has to readjust herself. What will happen if there are difficulties health-wise, God forbid, or different types of interactions that are difficult, maybe a husband that's not so easy to deal with, not because he's a bad person, just he has certain things that's not to her comfort. Nobody's the same. Are you able to guarantee from now that she's going to be this powerful woman? You don't know what you're giving. It's not a bad thing. You do the best you can. Obviously, you raise your daughter the best you can. But ultimately, what's going to make her the great woman is how she's going to stand up in the face of challenges. That's why it's critical when you raise a child, boy or girl, that when there are challenges in their lives, that you shouldn't be so quick to come and be the Mashiach to solve all their problems. Of course, sometimes they need help and you have to step in. But many of the challenges young people have, they need to figure it out themselves. You can advise them, you can guide them. Obviously, a parent has a heart for their children and they want to make their children's life smooth. And they don't want to have any kind of irritation And usually if they have the chance to fix it quickly, they do it. But there needs chokhmah. Needs to have chokhmah in the home to know that the future greatness of this young lady is going to come through the challenges of her life. And therefore, while we can never volunteer challenges for them, that's not appropriate either. We don't specifically put them in challenges. And we're never going to be able to give them the size of challenges they will have when they get married. But at the very least, when things come up, they should learn how to solve it. They're having issues with their friends. Don't step in so fast. Let them figure it out. Advise them, guide them, comfort them. But let them, even in first grade, let them figure it out. Don't step in. Don't be the person that comes in whenever there's an issue. They have a sibling issue. Let them work it through. Let them fight a little and make up. Challenges that come up in life, it may not be huge, but they're the preparation for how to deal with challenges in general. But that's the most you could do as a father and mother. You could just help them deal with things. And that's why many challenges they have in school is very helpful. They have to study for a hard test. So they stay up for 2, 3 hours, 4 hours. It's a good thing for them. The subject matter may not be important. They may never use the math equations they're studying. But the ability to work hard to get to a goal, challenging, that has a value beyond measure. A hard-working young lady who works hard in school, who works hard at home, takes care of her brothers and sisters, changes diapers, helps her mother with different things in the house. Yes, it's easier to get it done yourself or with a housekeeper. They'll do it faster, they'll do it better. But don't miss out on the opportunities to build the penina, to build the pearl, to become. But again, for the most part, the Eshet Hayil is only going to happen after marriage. It develops. It's not something you go look for. It's not deposited somewhere. It's something that becomes that. Every woman needs to know that. Because ultimately what happens in life is that when you get married, you're going to have some unexpected surprises. And for most people, those surprises become a big disappointment. And those disappointments translate into unhappiness and many other negative things that could take place. When an Eshet Hayil knows that the only way she could become a great woman is specifically through the challenges. When a challenge comes in her life, she stands up for it. Stands up means she takes it on. Because she realizes there is no way I'm going to become the great woman without these challenges. Maybe I didn't want them, maybe I didn't expect them, but at the end of the day, there's no way. As the great Rav Huttner says, Alav HaShalom, to a student in a famous letter that he wrote back to the student who was struggling and was telling his rabbi about his struggles, he told him, the struggles of life are rechem legadlut. They're like the womb of greatness. Just like the rechem, the woman's womb is the place where the child grows. The womb is a place where maybe causes a lot of discomfort for the woman. She's growing bigger and fatter, and all the things that come along with having the womb and having the child grow in it. Not so easy to become pregnant for 9 months. But then from there, you get the most beautiful gift that you ever had in your life. Says the great rabbi, the same way you need the womb to produce this gift called the child. The challenges of life is the only way to produce great people. Challenges, whatever they are, for every age, is sent to a person to create a gift that he would never be able to get without them. Challenges are directed to the person for them specifically at that time in a way that they need it. I once had a meeting. I got a phone call from someone I didn't know, not from this community. I got a phone call with a request if I can meet with a woman and her mother, a woman who was in her low 20s, married maybe a year or two, and they basically decided, her and her mother and her family, that she needs to leave her husband. That it got to the point where there's no way for this marriage to continue. But someone told them that before you make such a big decision, go get some sort of haskama. Go get some sort of approval from a rabbi. That's going to tell you you're doing the right thing. It's a big move. So to be Yotzei Yedei Chova, to fulfill their obligation, just to get the sign off, basically. Their work was done, but they said, okay. So I don't know why I got the phone call. So bottom line is, they came for their approval. They wanted me to sign the certificate that this is the right situation. Of course, divorce is not a great thing, but sometimes it's necessary. Torah recognizes that, and it's a mitzvah. If the situation is such that requires divorce, it is what it is. So we all recognize that. And this young woman starts to tell me her story. And she used the words, "I didn't sign up for this," maybe a dozen times in her opening remarks. Basically, she married a, we'll call it regular, what she calls regular man.
No approving.
Who was traditional in his observance, regular, whatever that meant to her. Shabbat, light. Kashrut, very light. Not really connected to Bet Knesset, not really learning. That's the man she married. And somehow, sometime near the wedding after, he got inspired, he got connected, whatever the story was, is not important. But bottom line, he starts to change. Now he's not eating in the restaurants that she wants to eat. I didn't sign up for this. Shabbat, he's driving her crazy. What you can do, what you can't do. Early in the morning, he's out of the house. He's going to pray. He's out for 3 hours in the morning. He comes home at night. He eats. He goes to learn again.
Yeah.
She told me, I didn't sign up for this. It's not what the kind of person I married. I see where this is going. I think I need to part ways and move on with my life. She was actually a very nice young lady who was very honest. And who can blame her? She didn't sign up for this. She didn't. It's not what she wants. So I asked her if her husband treats her well. I said, how does he treat you? She says, my husband treats me very well. He respects me. He takes care of me. But these situations come up every day and make it very uncomfortable for me. I told her that I want to share with her a story that I heard. I told her it's not the same type of situation. But I said there's a lot to learn from the story. It's a true story. For sure, she could not identify with the story. Very far from her world. But sometimes in order to get a message across, you have to go very far from someone's world so they could understand it. Because once it gets too close, it gets too sensitive. They're already answering questions in the story. True story. Not everyone could appreciate the story, but you have to put yourself in the heads of the people involved. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a very, very special young lady who grew up in the most beautiful family, very, very connected to Torah and mitzvot. She went to Beit Yaakov, the finest schools in Eretz Yisrael. She went to the best high schools, seminaries, and she was a big catch, we'll call her. Very strong. Very connected spiritually. She was Rebbetzin material. She was looking for one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim that's out on the market. That's the kind of girl she was. She dreamt of having such a Talmid Chacham who's going to be a big person is going to be learning and teaching Torah. Maybe one day he'll be Rosh Yeshiva. This is the kind of woman that we're talking about. That was her dream. That's what she was capable of. And when it came time to the Shidduchim, offers were coming in, and they chose a very, very successful, of ben yeshiva. A boy from yeshiva. Good head. Learns. Wonderful family. Someone that qualified. Someone that fit the bill. And they went out. And they got married. After the week of the Sheva Berachot, this young man turns to his wife and says he wants to have a talk with her. He tells her, I want to tell you something. I respect your decision, whatever you decide. I will not stand in your way. But I must share with you something you need to know. He told her, I do not plan to learn Torah. Now, for her dreams, what she thought she's getting, that's, I don't know what to compare that to in our world. He says to her that I grew up my whole life with a tremendous amount of pressure from my parents to become a gadol batorah. My mother was the type to call the Rebbe every 3 days to make sure that I'm learning the right way. The parents that I had were constantly on my head to make sure that I am getting to where I need to get. The path was already set for me. And I did everything I needed to do. I went to the best schools. I went to the best yeshivot. I did what I had to do for my parents. But at this point, I can't do it anymore. I have no interest in learning Torah. And I don't plan to go learn in the kollel. Okay. That's quite a shock for a top boy to a top young lady after a week of their marriage. So she tells him, so what are you going to do? Are you going to go to work? He says, no, I can't go to work either. Okay, why can't you go to work? He says, if I go to work, my parents will be so sad and will be so hurt. I can't do it to them. So I spoke to the Rosh Kollel. I explained to him my issue. I told him that if my parents call, he'll know what to say. Could you imagine what that feels like for this young lady? It's not what she signed up for. For sure not. I don't know how. I don't know where. This young lady tells her husband, she tells him, I'm here to be your Ezer Kenegdo. I'm here to help you. And whatever you decide, to me, is Kodesh Kodashim. It's Holy of Holies. She went out to work, bringing Parnasa to the home. And he's home. What is it like to have a husband sitting at home doing nothing? He's not learning, he's not working, he's doing nothing. Yeah. These are the days before there was technology and all types of things to be involved in. But he was sitting home. And this woman, she gave her husband everything that a husband can want without one iota less respect. She treated him like a melech, even though he clearly didn't deserve malchut. This went on for a number of years. Not a day, not a week, not a month. Just can't imagine the hardship for this young lady. Both her disappointments and her physical work and seeing day to day her husband supporting him while he's sitting home, very capable person, sitting home doing nothing. Hard to imagine. Vahi Ayom, day comes and she gives birth to twin boys some years later. After a few weeks or a month where she's ready to move on with her normal life after she had her children, now she's got to go back to work. So who's going to watch the kids? So naturally, he's at home. So he says he'll watch the kids while she goes to work. He'll take care of the kids. And now he's watching the kids, and you know men are not cut out for this job. So after a few weeks, he sees this is not the type of thing he should be doing. So he says to his wife, he says, what do you think if in the morning I go learn for a couple of hours and for the money I'll get from the kollel, we'll pay somebody for those few hours to take care of the kids. She told him, listen, I'm your Ezer Kenegdo, and whatever you decide is Kodesh Kodashim, is Holy of Holies. And that's what he does. He starts learning in the morning for an hour or two. That hour or two became the entire morning, which eventually became the entire afternoon. And today he's one of the great rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. On the 10th anniversary of their marriage, he bought her a silver plate where she puts the Nerot of Shabbat. And he tells her that the same way you lit up my life, I got you a plate to light the Nerot Shabbat in our home every single Friday. That is called the experience of a penina. That's a pearl. It's not what she expected. But from there, she made something very beautiful. I told this young lady, you're sitting here with a husband who takes care of you, who loves you. I said, it's not what you expected. I told her, if somebody would have went to Moshe Rabbeinu a few days before his 80th birthday, a few months, he was 79 and a half years old. He's an old man. And told him, Moshe, how's your life? Tell me. What are you all about? I'll tell you some beautiful things. You know, I'm towards the end of my life. I'm a shepherd. I take care of the sheep. I'm an honest man. I'm trying to take care of my family. I have a few children. Beautiful, nice. I said, would anyone, can Moshe Rabbeinu have ever imagined what's going to happen in a few months from them? And what will happen to him for the next 40 years? Is that something imaginable? Obviously not. If you ask Rabbi Akiva at the age of 39 and a half, what do you see in your future? You think he'd see the great Rabbi Akiva? I said, you already know what you signed up for, didn't sign up for. How do you know what you signed up for? You're having a hard time with something. Work with it. Develop yourself. See what you can do to make the relationship worthwhile. Anyway, it was the opposite of her story. She was not signing up for somebody who got stronger. This lady didn't sign up for someone who was a bum. But the idea is the same. An Eshet Chayil develops through the things she didn't sign up for. When things happen in the marriage that she didn't sign up for, it is there that she's going to make the mother of pearl. It is there that she's going to make her value. Of course, there are situations that are beyond, and for that you need some great rabbinical guidance to say, listen, this is not for you. There are such things. But for the most part, that's not the reaction. For the most part, when things come up that you didn't sign up for, you have to adjust yourself and take the moment and build something with it. Because it is from there that you'll become special. It's not like an irritation along the way of your success that's annoying you. No, no, no. From the irritation, from the things you didn't sign up for, it's from there that you're going to become the great person and the great Eshet Chayil and the great family. You have to know that. You have to stand up for these challenges. Stand up means give them respect. It's not hard. Excuse me. It's not easy to do what this woman did. And it's not easy, I told this young lady, to do what she's going to do. But she needs to adjust herself. She needs to realize that this is something to be taken on. You know, there's a Gemara. I'll end off with this Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Sota. Listen to this Gemara. Everybody knows this Gemara. But I'm not sure if we paid attention to a certain nuance in the statement. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The great Rav, one of the holiest Jews that ever lived. He was a Tana Emora, right there in the transition from the great Tanaim to the Emoraim. Says Rav, 40 yom kodem yetzirat havaled. 40 days before the formation of a child. Bat kol yotzet, there is a heavenly voice that comes out, the omeret, and says, Bat Peloni, the daughter of so-and-so, Liploni, is going to marry Ploni, is going to marry so-and-so. The daughter of Yosef is going to marry Yaakov. The daughter of Abraham is going to marry Yitzhak. Famous words that the shiduch of a person is somehow already brought into the world as the person is being formed before they even formed. Just got to go find them. But notice the words. Bat Ploni Leploni. The daughter of so-and-so to so-and-so. Why are you referring to this young lady as the daughter of Ploni? Why isn't she Plonit? Why don't they say Rivka to Yaakov? They called him Peloni. They didn't call him Ben Peloni. They didn't say the daughter of Peloni is going to marry the son of Peloni. They said the daughter of Peloni will marry Peloni. How come by the man he got his name specific without saying who he's the son of? Spoke to him personally. But by the girl, it says the daughter of. It's very interesting. Lashon. And the answer to this question, the simple answer to this question, and a woman needs to know this. It's a shevach, it's a praise of the woman. That she was made with an ability to adjust more than the men. The men also needs to adjust. But this is one of the gifts Hashem gave a woman, that she's able to adjust herself to the situation and the people that she's around more than the men. That's why the Gemara says in Masechet Ketubot that unfortunately, if there needs to be a divorce, and now they have to split up, one has to leave the neighborhood. They can't be together. So the Gemara says, who has to leave? Does he have to leave? Or does she have to leave? Gemara says that she has to leave. Totally opposite of what we would say. We would say, it's the woman, Hazita, it's hard for her. The man, let him go. Let her, fine. Let her stay and let him go. Gemara says, she should leave. Why should she leave? Gemara says, listen to this line. Amar Rav, again, here goes Rav. Tiltule de gavra, kashin mide iteta. The movement and the uncertainty and the challenges of a man is harder for him than it is for the woman. Which means a woman is easier able to adjust to something different and something new than he can. She'll figure it out. For him, it's harder. So therefore, let her go. She'll figure it out. Not easy for either of them, but she'll be able to adjust better than him. That's the way Hashem made her. That's why it says, Bat Ploni. When a girl is young, she fits in with her father. She adjusts. In the beginning of her life, she needs to adjust. That's how she comes in. But when she leaves, she becomes Eshet Ploni. She becomes the wife of Ploni. She figures out a way to adjust herself to her husband, who's not like her father. Her house is not going to be the same as the one she grew up in. That's why she's considered the Bat Ploni. Not because she doesn't have an identity. It's to praise her identity, that she's able to adjust herself to the people that she's living with. This is the story of the Eshet Chayil. This is the story of the Penina. The stories that we gave, that story we gave is a story of a Penina, of a pearl, of a woman who understood that when things take place that you didn't sign up for, you need to take on those challenges, and from there, you will see tremendous success. That is what makes the Eshet Chayil. And Shlomo HaMelech is spot on as usual. V'rahok mipirinim mechra. The value of the great woman is greater than that of the pearls. She's in that world of the pearls. And she will be able to turn so much greatness and value from the irritations that she didn't sign up for in her marriage. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen ve amen.